morning. Bonjour. I'm learning French. Don't know too much well. Hello everyone out there. Thanks for holding, staying in here and hanging on to the last session of the day. I get to use all the time available all the way up to the top of the hour. So thank you very much and get ready to be a little more paranoid and a little more patched by the time we end this session. A little bit about myself. I'm a writer at windowssecrets.com. I'm a small business IT specialist. I do the IT in my firm as well as a CPA for my day job. I do forensic computing. We specialize in litigation support, and I do forensic computing as part of that. I'm also a moderator out on patchmanagement.org. So when I know all about patches, it's because I kind of am at that point where I see people reporting patches, so I can go, hey, I see trends here. I'm an enterprise security MVP, and last but not least, I help out on thirdtier.net. And before anyone asks, these slides will be ultimately out on Channel 9, which is an MSDN website where they do the recordings. The slides will be there, but also we're going to be putting them up on thirdtier.net blog, so look for them out there. So if you miss them on Channel 9, we'll also put them out there for you as well. Doing a moderator duties on the background, a big thank you to Amy Babinchak, and I'll wait for the slides to hop up there. Amy owns Harbor Computer Services. She's a small business consultant, as well as managing partner of Third Tier, which provides advanced support services to other consultants and vendors. And I think she's got the harder job of all. She's doing the moderating duties on the back end. So thanks, big thanks to Amy. And I think I also need to thank Missy too, because I think she's in here helping out in the background too. I think it takes like four people to do moderating, and I get the fun job, the easy job up front. So what are we going to talk about today on this week in Patch Tuesday? What else? We're going to talk about Windows Update. What is an update? How are updates released? Something I call the updating eras. We're about to see the end of a patching era and going into a brand new patching era. And last but not least, how to solve the most common updating errors that I see out on the websites today. So without further ado, a little bit of background. Some of you, this is going to be kind of repeat for some people. You're going to go, oh, I've heard this before. But I'm going to kind of hit some basics about what an update is. And there's three basic, especially for Windows 8 and 8.1, there are three basic types of updates. The first and foremost one that we see on the second Tuesday of every month is something called a security update. And what that's designed to do is it fixes something used by attackers. The attackers like to wiggle into our operating systems, and what happens is you know, Microsoft coders up there, the engineers and developers who code up Windows, they don't intend to write faulty code. They fully intended everything to work, but the best laid plans of mice and men, what happens is some attacker comes in and goes, you know, I know you intended to use it this way, but what if I use it that way? And guess what happens? Something bad happens when something that you didn't intend happens and the code goes a different way. Because any kind of computer code is written by mankind, and because humans can tear down what other humans build, we will always have faulty code. There is never going to be 100% perfect code. As even there were spaceships on Mars that got stuck up there. Code sometimes has flaws. It's a fact of life. So, you know, saying, when's Microsoft going to fix code? This is reality. Code has to be a constantly moving target. It's never going to be static. It's never going to be perfect. In addition to security updates, there's things change in life. Things get updated. We want to do new things. We do new ways of talking to each other. So we need feature updates. It introduces something new. And last but not least, there's compatibility updates. We need to make sure our new systems work well with our old systems. So there's something called compatibility updates. So this is a little bit of historical way that Windows Updates is released, because Windows 10 is going to be changing some of this. So historically, right now today, they're released primarily on the second and fourth Tuesday. There's a lot of exceptions, like in the month of April, in fact, there were quite a few days. We had some Wednesday releases, we had some Thursday releases, but historically they've been second and fourth. And again, historically, the second Tuesday was reserved for security patches. If you saw a security patch outside of that second Tuesday, you better pay more attention to that patch that came out, because it means it's something called an out-of-band patch or an exceptional patch. It's patching something because there's a threat in the wild, If you don't patch it right now, you're going to be owned, so you better make sure you get it out. So look for those non-second Tuesday of the month. Patches should reboot only once a month, and the operative word is should because it doesn't always rely on this schedule. And that's why you'll see non-security updates on that second Tuesday, because Microsoft likes to push anything that kicks a reboot to the second Tuesday as well. So you only have to reboot once a month. And I say should because they're breaking the rules a little bit, and we had some fourth Tuesday reboots. But you know how Microsoft sometimes will change the rules on us. So how are updates released? In terms of Windows Update, somebody the other day had a question like, well, what does Windows Update team do? I mean, aren't they the person that handles all the updates? I mean, shouldn't they be the ones? I mean, you go to them and you tell them, hey, an Office update broke something, so they're the master ones in charge of all the updates. It doesn't work that way. The Windows Update team, their job is only to deliver your updates. So it's like the UPS truck driver. So if the UPS truck driver delivers a faulty package to you, you go back to that driver and you say, hey, this package is messed up. Can you send it back to the original manufacturer? The driver isn't the one that made the update. You have to go back to the team, the product group that actually made the update. So there isn't like a one-stop shop place to go and talk to the problems in the update stream. So like the Office team will have an Office update manager. The Windows team will have a Windows manager. The .NET team has an update manager. So it's not like one-stop shop. Then there's the cloud servers, Microsoft Update. Every month, over 800 million platforms go up to the cloud servers and get their updates to the Microsoft Cloud. And if you're wondering, why is there a Windows Update and why is there a Microsoft Update? Well, you can blame it on some attorneys. Okay, so Windows Update is how most platforms ship out to you. When you buy a brand new computer, it is pointing automatically to something called Windows Update. And Windows Update patches the Windows operating system only. And due to some Department of Justice and legal finagling attorneys, they can't ship your machine pointing to Microsoft Update. And what is Microsoft Update? Microsoft Update patches everything other than Windows Update. It patches the Office, it patches Silverlight, it patches SQL, it patches everything else besides the base operating system. And because of a certain requirement, you have to opt in to Microsoft Update. Now keep in mind that when you get some certain programs, like some antivirus programs do this, Silverlight will do this, Office 2013 will do this, when you install those programs, they'll automatically flip your machine over to Microsoft Update. And many times, they'll flip your machine to automatically install updates. So if you ever have installed one of these programs and you go, wait a sec, you know, I didn't choose these updates and I didn't choose to automatically updates. What, you know, Microsoft must have changed something. No, they don't. I have never, ever seen, and I will stake my reputation on this, Microsoft does not change your update settings ever. What has happened 99 times out of 100 is you've installed something, you've installed a third-party program, even Office 2013, that has flipped your settings and you didn't realize it. So at the very end of installing this program, it flipped those settings and you didn't pay attention. The other time I've seen, and I'll touch base on how to fix this later on, way later on in the presentation, the other times I've seen where somebody reports, you know, Microsoft has changed the setting when really they haven't, is when you've got a machine and you go to shut down the machine. If you happen to be on a Patch Tuesday where the updates are dribbling down, you sometimes won't recognize that the updates are ready to go and ready to be installed on your system. And you'll accidentally click on shut down and install updates, but you won't realize that it says shut down and install updates. And you'll go, why did Microsoft install updates when I didn't tell them to install updates? Well, in the defense of the computer system, it thought you did, because you clicked on that tiny little button that said shut down and install updates. And I'm going to tell you way at the end of the presentation how you can change that setting so that you never get caught out, especially on laptops. That's one in particular where I recommend that you make that settings, because I've been caught myself where you're ready to go get on board a plane and all of a sudden you've got updates being installed. So I recommend you make that change. So how can you make sure that the patch that you're installing really came from Microsoft? I mean, how do I know that some malicious guy hasn't been sending me malicious files? it's all about how these files are signed. And this first came to light, do you remember the Flame malware when they tried to infect the Iran nuclear weapons stations? And so they used Flame malware, and they basically hacked into a terminal server that was improperly set up, and they stole a Microsoft certificate authority. They used that certificate authority to trick machines into thinking they were getting files from Microsoft Update when they really weren't. And what happens on a day-to-day basis when we get updates from Microsoft, our machines go through and say, hey, Microsoft, are you sending me updates today? And it usually checks in like once a day. And when those updates come down, the trusted installer service goes in, it's part of the component-based servicing, goes, hey, do I recognize you as a true and proper Microsoft file? And it goes, yep, the signature's okay, looks good, let's install them. And that's how it trusts and makes sure that those signatures, those files are what they should be. So, you know, I get this question a lot, is how come Microsoft doesn't, you know, how come there isn't like one-stop shop for patch testing? You know, are they really sure they really patch testing? And I'm really sure that yes, they do patch testing. The unfortunate thing is there's no one-stop shop for patching updates. When you go to the Answers Forum in particular, where I hang out and answer questions, or if you go to the patchmanagement.org listserv, where I also moderate out there as well, we see patches from like an overview. All patches come from Microsoft. All things, they either help our system or sometimes they hurt our systems. And we go, how come we can't just go, hey, Microsoft, can, you know, stop this one because it's not doing too well. It's causing some issues to our machine. Well, in Microsoft, they have teams that work on the different updates. So each team goes through. And so sometimes it's a matter of you have to go to the right location and then get a team to be aware that there's an issue. So the Windows Update team merely delivers the updates. So keep that in mind. There's no one-stop shop. I wish there were. I'm hoping that in Windows 10, as the updating story changes, there will be a better one-stop shop. I think there will be. I think they're going to have to change kind of how they organize their Windows Update team because they're making a major change in Windows 10. So we'll see what's happening. And now let's talk about the updating eras. I'm crusty and old enough for and now into the third era of updating. We had the Windows XP era, which you may have loved. Then there was the Windows Vista 8.1 era, and then there's the Windows 10 era. So we've had three different eras of patching, and I'm going to talk about each of those three. And you may have loved XP, but I was not a fan of XP's patching, and I'll tell you why. So first off, XP era. XP, we may have loved it. We may have pried our cold little fingers off of it, but it was a pain to patch. If I remember right, there were six different installers for the XP era, six different ways that you can install updates onto that system. It installed to temp file locations. It installed to folders. It installed all over the place. It was the era of .NET failures. My goodness, I had Aaron Stebner's .NET ripout tool, practically the URL for that site, tattooed to my brain because I went to that site so often to tell people how to fix .NET failures. And lately, with the retirement of XP, I have not been able to. I've been much, much more willing, and you can see on the recommendations I make on WindowsSecrets.com, I say, go ahead and install them. I'm not seeing the bodies. We're past that era of where .NET, I would cringe when .NET patches would come out, especially for 1.1. 1.1 was the absolute worst about that, so keep that in mind. Limited repair options. If you did not have the media, you were pretty much up a creek. And I'm going to switch over to the question window. Amy says, Windows 7 only says shut down. There is no install updates to opt out of. I'm going to show you your registry key to make sure that you don't get that, because usually on I have to do a Control-Alt-Delete to get the absolute shutdown, because what's happening is the bubble isn't coming up like it should do. And especially on like this week when it's a really heavy week of patches, and especially when we have like a .NET, what's happening in the background is there's updates dribbling down. They're throttled. You'll see it always in the Windows Update screen is kind of throttling down. And the little button on the system tray, and I'm talking about Windows 7 in particular, that indicates that updates are ready to be installed won't pop up. because in its mind, it's not fully ready yet. So when you go to shut down, you'll accidentally catch install on shutdown. So I'm going to tell you the registry key to change, so you make sure you don't catch that. So again, hang loose. You'll get to that in later on. We may have loved XP. It was hard to repair without the media, and uninstall of updates wasn't always successful, especially .NET. I am talking about you, .NET. We literally had to have that Aaron Stebner rip-out tool to get .NET out of there. Otherwise, you had to practically reinstall the operating system. It was not fun at all. Yes, it was good for a logging purposes. Each KB had its own specific log. I will give it that. I'll give it an A plus for that, but in terms of actually how it repaired itself and how it installed, it was a pain in the rear, absolute pain in the rear. Again, in the XP era, I'll touch briefly on types of updates that we've had. Usually in my world, I never saw a private fix. Those were for big enterprises. They had something specialized, something unusual, so they had a private fix built for them. I'm very aware of hot fixes, and I'm old enough to remember when you had to call Microsoft for hot fixes. You could not get them from the web page, and you could not request them. And for years, we begged them to be put someplace so we wouldn't have to call in for them. Then there's a broadly released fix, critical update, security updates, which we should know, update rollup. And again, this is the XP era. We still saw it in Windows 7, but say goodbye. You will not see service packs anymore. We are at the end of the service pack era. We saw the last one for Windows 7 Service Pack 1. Windows 7, they have stated at the Ignite sessions, it's a big conference that they had in Chicago last week, there will be a what they call a convenience update rollup package for Windows 7. We would call it Service Pack 2. They won't call it Service Pack 2. They will be coming out with that probably after Windows 10 releases so that we don't have to install 147 trillion updates, which is now what Windows 7 is up to past Service Pack 1. But, you know, if you think, oh, I'm waiting for Service Pack 1 before I install Windows 10, put that out of your mind. They don't do that anymore. That era is gone. The terminology they used back then was critical, important, moderate, and low for security patches. Critical, and they still touch on this, mainly they use kind of exploitability ratings these days rather than this critical, important, moderate, low. But the concepts are kind of the same, where anything in the critical section, which we had quite a few this week, you want to make sure you get on your systems as soon as possible. Now we're into the Vista and 8.1 era of patching, something that we call the component-based servicing. And in the XP era, whenever we'd want to install something, we would have to give it the media. We'd have to find that lovely CD-ROM, stick it in the drive, let it install this thing, and then file that CD-ROM around for the next day that we needed that. In Vista, they decided to redo it. They wanted to do where no longer did you have to have the media. If you wanted to add and remove any feature, like if you wanted to add Internet Explorer, or if you wanted to add a certain role, add a certain feature, it got everything it needed from its own self. And that's the kind of the source of the WinSXS folder and why it's so large. So that's the repository for all the additional resources it needs to build the updates. So what's the best way to handle these optional updates, especially in the Vista 8.1 era? The optional updates, and I'll touch, if you hold on just a bit, I'll touch on this as how Microsoft kind of moves them from optional to where they're unchecked, to where they change the metadata on them, to where they start being checked and being offered up to you. And I'll talk about that, so just hang on just a little bit. The question came in on the window. So in the Vista to 8.1 era, we no longer have service packs. We have something called update rollups. And we've gone through several iterations of how they release these update rollups. Microsoft has learned a few lessons along the way. Between 8 and 8.1, there was the very first style of update rollup that came out to the consumer world, and that was called the store update. Do you remember that? If you were on the 8.0 platform, you had to go to the Windows Store, look for the big purple button, make sure you clicked on that. And what I did for all of my machines that I went from 8 to 8.1, I started the process, went to bed, got up in the morning, and hoped they had survived because I was not going to wait around. It took quite a long time for that original update. they learned their lesson that that was a very, very long and lengthy and big update to come out through the store. Yes, it made you be aware of the store, but it was also a painful process. So the next time around when they did an update roll up, they decided we're just going to let it come down through Windows Update. And because they wanted to go from like this build to build process, they made it mandatory. It came out in April, and they said to everybody, 291-9355, we're going to make it mandatory. You're going to have it installed by May. Otherwise, you will not get any more security updates. And everyone went, what? And Microsoft went, oh, I guess that's 30 days is kind of quick, isn't it? Okay, let's give you a little more time. And so they decided, and they pushed it off, and they gave enterprises all the way to August to make that a mandatory update. And right now, if you were on 8.1, you have to have 291-9355, the big update of April, installed. Otherwise, you will not get any more updates. So if you've got an 8.1 and you haven't been seeing any updates, make sure you have that 291-9355 installed, especially on servers. For those of you that patch servers, if up in the right-hand corner, if you don't have the little power button, go make sure you've got 291-9355. I guarantee you do not have the 291-9355 installed if you're not seeing that power button in the upper right-hand corner of your Windows 2012 R2 server. So they learned their lesson. August comes out, another rollout came out, but this time they didn't make it mandatory. They made it optional. Again, November comes out. This one, it's a little smaller, not mandatory again. They keep learning their lessons on us. And that's a good thing. They obviously listen to feedback. They respond on things. But keep in mind that, you know, what you and I think of, oh, it's just a normal update, it really isn't. These we've had basically mini, what you and I would call mini service packs. They call update roll-ups. And these have gone from build to build to build. And the November update in particular is really good for servers because it's got some data deduplication enhancements. So look for these update roll-ups that are more than just a bunch of patches. They're actually bringing different features. They're going to be doing more and more of that to the Windows 10 era of patching, and I'll cover that in just a little bit. In the 8 era, there's both security updates and non-security updates, and I'm going to beat up Microsoft a little bit and say, you know what? I know that these optional updates are important because there's some good, you know, fixes in them, but because you title them up so strangely and you don't tell us how important they are, we don't install them. We only see security updates. We only see the critical ones. And we go, hey, but you got to tell us a little bit more of why you need this. And they always say, fixes issues. Well, tell me what you're fixing. Get a little more detail, and then I'll want to accept them more. So, you know, I know you want me to install updates. I know it's good for me to install updates. Many of them fix issues. But you need to tell me a little bit more of what they're fixing, because otherwise I'm going to probably skip them. And it also depends on how you've got your 8.1 set up. There's a box in there. If you go into the Windows Update and you go into Choose Settings on how you receive your updates, there's a little tiny box in there that says give me recommended updates the same way I receive important updates. And when you check that box, it makes all those optional non-security updates look like they're just as important as the security ones. So people will ask me, well, you know, should I install this non-security? You know, how come I'm getting this time zone update? You know, how come it looks like it's the same thing as a security patch? It's because that box has been checked. And if you didn't check it, it's possible, again, one of those third-party antivirus programs or third-party, you know, update programs that have chosen for you and you didn't realize. So I'd urge you to go in there and check and make sure what that setting is and make sure you understand what that means. You know, if you're used to the two-tier, the important tab and the recommended tab, it moves those recommended updates up to that important tab so that you get less of a filtered view. Everything looks important. Everything looks critical when really it may not be. So take a look at that setting. Decide if you like it that way. Decide if you want to change it. Optional updates and driver updates. In particular, in driver updates, I know that Microsoft says that they always make sure that they are Win hardware, they're certified Win hardware drivers. You should have no problem installing any of the drivers. Well, as the Windows 10 beta testing can attest to, not all drivers are created equal. So what I'd recommend, that when you see a driver update offered up to you, don't install it from Windows Update. use it as a guide that you should go to the vendor manufacturer, whatever made your device, and go to see what they have as a driver update. In particular, I'm going to point out NVIDIA. If you see an NVIDIA driver offered up to you on Windows Update, don't take it from there. Go to the NVIDIA site, scan on the NVIDIA site, use their driver update. So use the driver update section as just a flag, just as an indicator. You need to go to the vendors. Some of these changes are optional. Some of these ones that come out, like time zone changes. I'm not going to go to Morocco. I really don't need it. I can skip on it. Thank you very much. Time zone changes are one of those skippable ones. Some of them that increase, like the pass the hash protection, which is an enterprise security risk. Some of those that increase those kind of remote desktop control settings and things like that are very much enterprise type patches and really don't have an impact on standalone workstations. Again, some of those you can skip on those. But because we're skipping updates and because Microsoft is finding that skipping updates means that it's harder for vendors to code, because I may have, you know, KB24362, but you don't have 24362. And what if the vendor, you know, needs to make sure that you have 24362? It's better from a vendor standpoint if they know that everybody's on the same build, and especially as we start plugging more cloud.
Yes, Susan, we can now. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Okay, you're not going to believe this. I live in the state of California where we have a drought. And guess what is going on right now? We have a rainstorm going through. So, of course, the wind is blowing, and we just had a power outage at my house. But because I am a geek and I am a Girl Scout prepared for everything, I am now on my laptop that has my AT&T Wi-Fi device going on. So we are now back online with very little drop in presentation. Thank you very much. And I'm going to take back over as presenter with a four-hour battery life, thanks to Lenovo's battery. Okay, so back on track. Okay, let me go back one. Okay, driver updates. As I was saying, using the driver updates, use them as a flag to go onto the vendor website and get an update. So how Microsoft changes these optional updates. Okay, that's a big question I get. Why should I install these optional updates? Should I install these optional updates? How come they keep being offered up? This week in particular, we've seen those lovely optional ones, especially the ones getting us ready for Windows 10, come out and keep changing. So what happens is, first off, they put them out and they put them as optional unchecked. They're there. If we're waiting and seeing what's going on, we can check them and install them. But then they start changing them to recommended. They monitor what's going on these optional updates. And as they see that everything's okay, because they've tested them internally. But to beat up Microsoft a little bit, they have nice clean boxes. They have patched people. They don't do the squirrely things that we do. They have nice clean machines. We have what I call crusty boxes. We have missing updates. So they will miss things that we don't have. So what they do is they start by slowly trickling them out, and they turn up kind of like the volume button, if you will. So they slowly turn them on, and they change them to recommended, and then they finally may roll them up into roll-up releases, such as the November release, for example, roll them quite up a bit. Now, fasten your seatbelt. This is the Windows 10 era of updating, and I highly recommend. I don't have the links in this deck, but I'll put them in the final deck that I put up on the thirdtier.net site. There's a brand new way that we're going to be seeing Windows 10 doing updates called release rings. And I'll be the first to admit, part of me goes, oh boy. But I'm going to challenge you. I don't want you to update to Windows 10 on the very first day it comes out. In fact, I will beat you up royally if you update to Windows 10 on your production machines the very first day it comes out. I will hunt you down if you do it on your production machines on the very first day it comes out, especially if you don't have a backup. But 11 months later, when we're getting ready for that free update window to shut down, I'm going to challenge you guys, because at that point in time, we will see the security goodness of 10. We will see the impact of the brand new Windows Edge browser. We will see how the patching is going, and I'm going to challenge you guys and say, okay, we're 11 months later, that now this new way of patching, and I want you to ask yourself, you know, I think you need to update it this time because there's some changes. Again, because of the way the world is changing and because of the way we're now plugging in cloud services and we're sticking all sorts of things, we have to make sure that the platforms we connect to have exactly the same patches and things. They're on the same, you know, piece of paper, if you will, as what we're trying to connect to. And we're not doing a good job on that right now with Windows 7, and we're not doing a good job with Windows 10. As a result, 10 has what they call release rings. Mary Jo Foley in today's ZDNet has a really good article talking about some of the changes coming to the release rings, how consumers will get these rings. And once a month, you won't get the option to not get an update. You'll get the option of when to reboot. They have heard us regarding the Windows Update drivers. They know it's a pain point in the Windows 10 beta process. You will be able to stop the drivers and choose the drivers. They're very much listening to the feedback on this. But at the same time, I know, we all know, patching has to change. We can't keep the status quo. It's not working. Attackers are getting us. Attackers are taking over our machines. And then just the whole month-to-month where we have oopsies and issues, we need to get on a more solid release system, and that's why they're doing the release rings. They talked about at the Ignite conference, Windows Update for Business, a brand new way where if you have Windows Pro SKUs and higher, in addition to being controlled by WSUS, you'll have something called Windows Update for Business. So you can, if you have a business level machine, you can push it off. We don't know at this point in time how many months you can push it off, 2 months, 3 months. Again, some of these details will be coming. There's also going to have peer-to-peer updating. Now, before you go, what, Microsoft's doing BitTorrent? No, they're not doing BitTorrent. Think in terms of how many, like if you had several 8.1 machines and they all had to have that store update, you remember how many times you downloaded that same file over and again inside your own peer-to-peer network? Wouldn't it be great if you could pull that one binary down and install it to all of your home PCs so that you didn't have to run around to all the different computers pulling down the same files over and over again? Wouldn't you like to have a WSUS-like server in a peer-to-peer setting? That's what the peer-to-peer updating is about. Again, they're going to go more into information. And again, because they digitally sign these patches so that the patch, when you install a patch from Microsoft, it is signed so that the trusted installer knows exactly where that file is coming from. It knows it's from Microsoft. And so when it goes and installs that update, it says, ah, this patch is from Microsoft. I can trust this. Even though it came from, you know, my next door neighbor, my other machine over here, I can install this because it's a trusted patch. So this is the biggest change ever, I think, to Windows Update. And keep looking for these topics. I'll be talking about it on the patchmanagement.org. I'll be putting more blog posts up on thirdtier.net blogs post as well. But again, biggest changes, I think, to the Windows Update process. Windows 10 branches. What they're going to do is they're going to use the insider branch as kind of, and before I say beta testing, don't worry, they're going to beta test inside. They're going to make their own people beta test. So their first level of beta testing will be what they call dog food. They do it inside the office first. Then what they're going to do is they're going to open up the Windows Insider program to be that preview branch. If you want to bleed a little bit and see what those early patches are, keep signed up for that Windows Insider program, and you will get the new features and new options. Everybody's going to get security patches. Don't worry about that. But any feature and update rollups are going to come in through that Insider preview branch. Once they've been validated by that Insider preview branch, then they will start dribbling out to the consumer branch, and then they go up to the current branch for business. If you have a Windows Enterprise SKU, you will then have the option to go what's called the long-term servicing branch, which I believe, and again, some of this is rumors. I don't have exact figures. My understanding of what I've heard so far out in the news, the long-term servicing branch could be like several months delay. But these details will be coming. What we've heard sometimes is a little bit of rumors and you know, where people kind of, you know, looked into some of the branches and things like that. So most of these details will be coming later. But again, keep in mind that's a big, big change. How are we going to get to Windows 10? In the next, when 10
officially RTMs, any version of Windows 7 that you have, or 8.1 that is not an enterprise SKU, will be offered up an update to Windows 10. Don't panic. You will need to opt into it. You won't suddenly come to your machine one day and go, oh my gosh, my icons moved, my screen moved. No, it's not like that. You will have to agree to the update. An in-place upgrade is supported. Now, keep in mind that for Windows 7, you want to make sure you have a backup. There isn't a good way to roll back. Unlike the 8.1 process, which will allow you to roll back, the Windows 7s is like a one-way trip. And if you come to me on whenever the day it RTMs and say, Susan, I installed Windows 10 the very first day, and geez, something happened, and I can't get back to Windows 7, I'm going to beat you up. So make sure you have a backup. Windows 8.1, you will allow to get that rollback. So Windows image will be left on the disk. So question comes up, how do you keep a machine lean and clean after a patch session? I have many tablets with 32 gigs disks, and you don't want to fill with old updated files. There's actually a new command, a Windows clean command, and you can also use the dism commands to clean the machine. I do not remember if I've put the exact dism command in the deck. I will put it out on the thirdtier.net blog site as well. I'll give you that as those exact cleanup commands. And especially with the if you have a Windows RT unit, there's a brand new Office RT cleanup as well. So keep that in mind. Do not start hacking into the Windows SYX folder. That is not the way to do it. This was a statistic that was in the Ignite session of... Hold on, let me turn this off. Sorry about the phone interrupting. This is an interesting factoid. That was out on the Ignite session website, talked about that 87% of updates are successful. And while that sounds great from one standpoint, that 87%, you know, I mean, that's a B plus kind of, that's still 13% of people have updates that have issues. And some of these issues, they may need a reissue, some need a retargeting. So I'm going to challenge Microsoft. They need to get better at that. I want them to get an A. I want to get them an A average. I want them to get an A plus. 87% of B plus scoring is not good enough. So again, at the end of, I will revisit this 11 months after Windows 10 releases, and we're going to give them a score. Let's give them a, as a group, let's crowdsource this 87% and see how they're doing, and see how they're doing on updates. This is the one I was talking about earlier. This is the how I turn off the disable updates on shutdown. It's a registry key. And absolutely don't turn your machine off while it's installing updates. You can get stuff stuck in pending.xml file, and it's not a good thing to go hacking into the pending XML file either. That is not a good way to fix updating issues. So step one, do that disable updates on shutdown. Generally speaking, I recommend that these two tools in particular for the 7 and 8.1 era are used, the SFC scan now for the Windows 7 and the DISM tool for the Windows 8.1. And the DISM tool also has some cleanup tools on there. And again, I didn't get some of the flags in here, so I'll give you some more information on that. Go to the thirdtier.net blog and I'll be doing some follow-up on there. For the DISM commands, there's several commands that you'll want to do. And again, feedback to Microsoft, I really wish they had a Fixit or a wizard. I'm hoping in 10, I need to take a look under the hood on 10 to see if this DISM command is a little bit easier and a little bit whizzier than it is now. Because currently you have to go to a command line and you have to type this in and you have to make sure you have the spaces. So I wish it'd be easier for next time. But be that as it may, for 8.1, keep this in mind. The first one checks to see if there's component corruption. Then you have scan health, which sees if it can be fixed. And finally, the one that actually does things is called restore health. And this actually uses Windows Update to fix the corruption. It could take up to 10 to 15 minutes to run the corruption fixes. So start with that if you have any issues, especially if you get the lovely beloved Windows is restoring the files because it, you know, Windows failed to update, restoring back to an earlier time. When you get that situation, what happened there is the patch wasn't able to complete, and so the system is rolling back to a time where it knows it had a good solid baseline. So when you get that kind of situation, run that restore health. If you have problems getting out to Windows Update, use the Fixit to reset the Windows Update components. What not to do. Do not delete the files in the WinSYX. Oh, and I did have the links in there. Clean up the component store and reclaim space using those start component cleanup command. There you go. Use those two links right there to clean up your system. Those are the official way to do it. It will give you a protected way to do it. Generally speaking, every registry cleaner vendor is going to hate me. Don't use registry cleaners ever, ever, ever. I do not like them. I have seen many a situation, many a problem caused by a registry cleaner. Ensure old antivirus is removed completely, and I know this is hard to do on consumer-based machines that you buy from any kind of Office Depot, Office Max, you know, when they have the stuff pre-installed. Norton Antivirus, thank you very much. We love you. Get that Norton Antivirus removal tool and get that out of there, because that's also another common situation. And don't use multiple antivirus, or pick one and turn the other one off and only use one at a time. So what's your computer doing? While it's doing these updates, what is it doing in the background? What is that registry, what of what, and what's it step one and one? And like this week, what is it doing that step three of three, which, by the way, if you were getting a step three of three, don't turn off your computer. Just do a control alt delete. We're seeing quite a few people this week on Patch Tuesday week having that issue. We haven't yet identified which one particular update is causing this. I personally think it's the multiple supersedents in all the different patches this month. So if you hit that, you know, stage three of three, don't turn it off. Don't panic. Hit control alt delete. Just log in. What's happening in the background is the system isn't quite bringing back up that login screen. And so something's not quite right, but don't panic. A lot of people are seeing it. So when you see that reverting back, what's happening is critical operations succeed, but the non-critical operations are failing. It attempts to then process them, and it leaves behind traces of what it's doing in the pending.xml. And if it fails, it goes, oh, gee, I didn't finish this up. Let's go back to that file and let's see what's going on. And if you delete out that pending XML file, the computer sometimes won't know where you're at and you may have to rebuild. So you may see that, oh, delete out the pending XML. That's not a good way to do it. Question, can you reasonably safe with Microsoft Defender or is it junk? You know, if you were around for my session one, just earlier in the day, where Lawrence and I were talking about antivirus and how effective it is, you know, every antivirus is reactionary. I personally use Defender. I'm using it now on this lovely 8.1 laptop that is able to get me through this presentation on battery. Thank you very much. I like it because it's built by Microsoft, and it has, for me, it's been the least false positive. That said, you kind of have to see how loosey-goosey of a surfer you are. For some people, I have malwarebytes.org. For a little more savvy person, I put Microsoft Defender on. So it kind of depends on your users. You only know how your users are. You only know how you are. For those machines that you go out to more icky sites, you might want to have a more heavy-duty one. If you're a savvy person and you patched yourself, as I call it, Microsoft Defender is actually just fine. So again, about that pending.xml file, it populates that with all the files and registry values it needs to install a particular update. During the system shutdown, it processes all those transactions, and if it fails, it rolls back to a working condition, which is why you don't want to delete that, because, or at least if you're going to do it, save it someplace. Don't just delete it, because you want to make sure you keep that, because somebody smarter than you or you can look at that and go, hey, what was it doing at the time? So always let the system complete the Windows update. Don't shut it down in the middle. Yes, I know when you're on your way to start an airplane ride and they say, hey, you need to, you know, board the plane and shut down the computer. Yeah, you sometimes don't have any choice, but try not to do that. If the system is not completing, try and let it go as long as you can. Yes, even up to 24 hours. Many a time, if you've let it go overnight and then do a hard reboot, it is just fine. So again, try not to do the hard reboots. When you do, give yourself time. Let it do its thing. It's trying to do its job of trying to get your system back. The typical Windows errors we see, and I don't see this one as often, thank goodness, because we don't have the .NET errors we once did. The 1603 era, when 603 error, it usually means you're attempting to install to an encrypted file or directory. I should have put the phone on mute. I am sorry about that. You're attempting to install to a substituted drive, and often the system account does not have the error. Let me go into another room where I don't have this. Okay, sorry about that. It's going to make for a lovely recording. And often, and this is the one I often see, system account does not have the necessary permissions to on this target directory. Error code listings. There's two major places where error code listings are listed. And while not complete, they're a pretty good place to kind of look up and see what's going on. Some of them are very helpful. Others are kind of like, what exactly does that mean? So kind of keep that in mind that they're a good place to start. And sometimes you just have to ask around and have to Google or Bingle and see what the error code. Typical errors I see as well is connectivity or firewall errors. Also temp files left behind. There's a way to clean those up. I often see that. Antivirus. I often see antivirus have issues with kernel updates. AVG and Elvira is one that I see often that has issues with kernel updates. And the recommendation on that is just to hold back a little bit on that. Don't install them right away. And the recent one that we had with kernel updates, and everyone was like, oh, we're having major issues. Well, we did have issues with a kernel update in, I believe it was March. But the root cause was dual boot systems, and most of us don't do dual boot. So therefore, most of us were just fine with that patch. So kind of keep an eye. We talk about patches on the patchmanagement.org listserv. I write about them on Windows Secrets. So keep your eye out for what the reports are of the issues. I have an Excel spreadsheet where I kind of list what issues I've seen. It's called patchchart.com. You can take a look at that and see what's going on. Does Microsoft test patches? Yes, they do. They really, really do. And they wouldn't have sent them out if they thought they were going to be causing you issues. They really don't mean to cause you pain. When you personally have issues, most of the time, they can't repro it. Don't assume that because you're having the issue that everyone else is having the issue. Remember that percentage I have? 87% of the patches do just fine. You're in that little percentage that is having the issues. And also, we have what I call crusty boxes. They're beat up. They're in-place upgrades. They've been this. They've been that. There's all sorts of things that have happened to these boxes that you know, they don't have in their systems. So keep that in mind. They really do, they don't intend to hurt you at all. That's not their intent. But they just don't have the same machines that we do. We have old crusty boxes. Tools to help you update. We have secunia.com, AutoPatcher, and Innight, especially for consultant. That's a really good one to help you keep those updates and keep them all updated at the same time. Because sometimes, keep in mind, Microsoft Update only does the Microsoft stack. So if you're wanting to patch Java, or hopefully these days you're uninstalling Java, but if you have other things to patch like Chrome and Firefox, well, Chrome isn't a good example because Chrome self updates, but if you have other things that you want to keep track and update, Secunia is actually a pretty good one for consumers to keep that in mind. Resources that I recommend that you go to, as always, if you have any issues with the updates at all, go out to answers.microsoft.com. I usually am out there kind of watching to see what's going on. I write out at windowssecrets.com. There's a forum in the background. By all means, post those up. I moderate the patchmanagement.org listserv. Highly recommend that you sign up for there. Feel free to ask questions along the way. I also, and I didn't put this link down there, I call it my rough and dirty spreadsheet. Patchchart.com, it's a OneDrive Excel spreadsheet. As I'm tracking issues, as I'm seeing things, I call this my really raw spreadsheet because it's the early, early reports. Nothing is set in stone yet. People are saying, I'm seeing this. We don't have an official anything from Microsoft yet. So it's my rough and dirty spreadsheet. And last but not least, if you have any questions, please feel free to email me at susan@msmvps.com. We have the survey going up, the polls are going up, and my goodness, if we have rain in California, so whoever did the rain dance around California, thank you for sending it my way. I just wish you would not have done it while I was trying to present. So apologies for all of the lovely interruptions and the power outage that I've lived through. Thank you for putting up with all of the lovely interruptions going on. And again, if you have any questions, any issues, feel free to reach out to me. We'll, in about a week, I believe it is, this whole presentation, hopefully, and hopefully not with all the lovely things going on in the background, will be up on Channel 9. We'll have to explain of all the lovely things going on in the background, as well as my PowerPoint presentation, the download slides. And again, if you have any questions, please feel free. Reach out to me. I hope I've given you some things to think about. Again, take a look at the changes. Think about the changes coming up through Windows 10. I'm going to challenge you guys at month 11 to start think about updating. You know, why aren't you updating to Windows 10? So I'm going to challenge you guys. We're going to all see how this goes. And again, thank you very much. We're at the end of the day, close of the day. And remember, tomorrow there'll be the same all-day sessions, same amount of tracks going from 8 to 5. And again, thank you very much for hanging in there and hanging through all of my interruptions today.
Thank you very much, Susan. Ladies and gentlemen, we have put up a URL in the messages panel. If you'll, if this is the last session of the MVP virtual conference that you will be joining, please do take a moment to click that link and fill out the survey. We'd really appreciate your feedback. If you are planning to join further sessions tomorrow, you'll have another opportunity.
Just a reminder as well, on the survey, if this was the last session of the day, make sure you put your feedback. This is the time to do the last session of the day feedback.
Great. Thank you, Susan.